This FabFM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
G'day mate, how are you?
I couldn't be better, thank you. Your good self?
Well, I'm very, very well, and I've got to say to you, though, I am pleased to see that you are identifying overpackaging as a serious problem because, quite frankly, it has got completely out of control. If you go back, you're a similar generation to me. You used to go down to the butchers. There was no plastic. They'd wrap your meat in a white paper.
Yep.
You'd walk away with it. You go to the fish and chips, they'd even use yesterday's newspapers to wrap it up and walk away with it. And, of course, totally biodegradable and that. Now, of course, and you could actually just go in and pick up your fruit and veggies and put them in the basket and take them. Now everything's got to get, whether you're buying a single piece of fruit or a handful, everything goes into different plastic bags for convenience. Before it goes through, and every one of those, of course, as soon as you tip the fruit out into your fruit bowl, the bag goes into the bin.
Yeah.
You gave the example of razors, and while that's a good example, I tell you what, there's a lot of others there that are downside worse. And so part of what I've been charged with the responsibility of is identifying, well, firstly, and let's go right back to the source of the problem, of course, which is single-use plastic bags. And we have plastic, or not just plastic bags, but plastics. And I guess if you go back to your own youth, it isn't been that long that we've actually started to use plastics the way we do. I mean, I grew up in a pretty much a plastic-free world. And so it's a rather new phenomenon. I mean, started off with all these Tupperware parties, and although that's renewable.
That's right.
But, you know, I mean, suddenly there's the magic of plastic, and of course it is convenient. But, you know, I grew up in a time where there was just no plastic. You had to, you had to improvise. You took your lunch in paper bags and the likes of that.
Mm. Now, and also, Warren, I can remember shopping with my mother and we would get the Arnott's biscuits and the shop owner would have the tins of Arnott's biscuits and he would then scoop them out and put them into a paper bag. And that's how we bought our biscuits in those days.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. And so this is, I mean, what we need to do now, there's a number of challenges. First of all, we've got to start completely getting rid of single-use plastics. And there's a whole range of innovative things that can be used now. And I'm hoping, as we see the Mossman Mill, for example, morphing into its bio precinct, we'll start to be able to get the plastics coming out of there that are in fact biodegradable and that will break down. And this is part of what they want to do.
Yeah.
But we've also, and there's a whole raft of other things that they're doing which they'll be replacing plastics on. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. I seen a good one the other day because, you know, we're using straws, paper straws now, but if you leave it in your drink for 5 minutes, they go really cloggy and they're hard to drink out of.
That's exactly right.
Well, let me tell you, a friend of mine just bought back some straws from Western Australia and they're made out of rice. Out of rice, and they don't go cloggy. And you know, you can have your drink and eat it too. seriously, they're made out of a rice.
Good one.
And so these are the sort of things that we need to be looking to do. And in fact, she bought some back for me and I've been talking to Daniel Lefnick at the Cairns Aquarium, and I said to him, while I'm trying to suck through a paper straw on an orange juice and struggling to get through by the end of the drink, I said, I'm going to bring you in some rice straws and let's start using these because it is just total, you know, it's just a fiber, grown natural fiber, and it works well. But we've got to first of all drive that innovation for those changes. We've got to also educate. And this is where it comes into packaging. We've got to start educating the people that, you know, if you go and buy a piece of fruit, you don't have to have it wrapped up in bubble wrap and a whole range of other things, so you've got the perfect piece of fruit. Let me tell you, the perfect piece of fruit in relation to taste can actually have a mark on it.
Exactly.
It really doesn't make any difference. And so people need, you know, need to know if they're committed, to making sure that we reduce our impact environmentally, and most people are, what we've got to do is to realise that, you know, put your fruit into a basket. Don't buy anything that's wrapped up in bubble wrap and all sorts of packaging, and accept that it might have a mark or a blemish on it, but it's not going to change the taste or the usability of the product. Now, the same goes for your raisins. And one of the things that I'm charged with the responsibility of putting up proposals that we can develop as national policy. And one of the things that I'm seriously looking at is where you get this ridiculous overpackaging. Most of this stuff is imported. Let's put the onus on the importer that if they're going to import products like this, they have to accept responsibility in relation to the recovery
Yep.
of these products. And there's a cost associated with that. You know, that in itself, I would suggest, would encourage them to talk to the source of their supply to say, hey, wait a minute, go a little bit easy on the plastics and the packaging, because it's going to cost me money.
We're speaking with our federal member for Leichhardt, Warren Ench. And look, I'm so glad you're heading this direction, or at least the Morrison government is heading in this direction. Because what we, and as you said, most of these things that are just wrapped and wrapped and wrapped in plastic, all of this stuff that we finally get to the product, and then all we're left with is, I mean, look at we bought an air fryer the other day. And when we brought it home, the plastic, the bubble wrap, the container, the whole thing that we had to then get rid of. And then, you know, it's
and
up to us.
The poly stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's shocking. And so I'm very glad you're looking at this, because I think you're right. The onus should be on the imported people to say, hey, Australia, oh, we can send this into other countries, but Australia are tough on this. Australia are tough on this, and they're making us repackage it for Australia.
I hope that then that reflects that they can package it. It may save them money. What happens in countries around us ends up often on our beaches and our seashores.
Absolutely. And look, the other thing too, excuse me, too, Warren, that I really want to discuss with you, and that is, now you were up here at the Croc Pit a while back, and we were talking about this picket fence made of recycled plastic. Why can't we? Now, there was a company in South Australia many moons ago, destroyed by a Flame and Labor politician over there that was an absolute crook. I chased him over to Indonesia, a bloke called Peter Duncan, and he was involved with a good company called Omnipol over in South Australia, who were coming up with all of these recycle things. Now, things like railway sleepers, they were making out of this hardened plastic, recycled plastic. They were going to make fences like you're talking about here with the Croc Pit. And unfortunately, Peter Duncan got involved, a greedy old Peter Duncan, and the company ended up folding. But what I come back to is, why can't we be using a lot of this plastic that would go normally into landfill to make products that will, like railway sleepers, they're just going to last forever and replace what they've got at the moment?
It's happening, and it's happening at an accelerated rate. Now, you know, North Queensland, Queensland Plastics, which is the one that I talked about, they are going to be the ones that are going to make this white picket fence, right? So they're capturing literally millions and millions of pieces of discarded plastic, and it's going to be turned out into this beautiful, aesthetically very attractive white picket fence, the only one of its kind up in the region, and hopefully yeah. inspire others to do it. It will last for generations, and at the end of the day, if they decide it's discoloured enough that they need to replace it, they can put it back into the machine and recycle it into something else. So that's what we're doing there. But this same company, mate, is already making building materials. They're making sleepers. They're making decking. They're making a whole, and they're just tooling up different tools using the same product. And this is where we need to begin. This is where the future is. One of the problems in creating these industries is economy of scales. We need the volume. And what we've been doing is exporting a fair bit of our stuff in the past, and you would have seen that Malaysians and Indonesians are sending it back, and which I think is a great opportunity for us. And I said to the PM, we've got to stop exporting this, and we've got to start creating industries here ourselves. And to create an industry, there's got to be a drive, there's got to be a demand for a range of products, because it's that demand that generates the innovation that gives us our white picket fence. He agreed absolutely, and when he came to COAG meeting recently, he put up a proposal that the federal government was going to ban the export of all waste materials. And it was 100% supported by all states and territories. Now, that's a major step in the right direction, because what that means, Paul, is that governments at all levels, state, a local state and federal now, are going to look at ways in which they incorporate into all of their tenders, whether it be construction, manufacturing, or whatever the government tenders are, to be able to get past first base, there will be a requirement for an amount of recyclable product included in that tender.
Fantastic.
Whether they're building roads, whether they're building rail, whether they're building, constructing buildings, they have to have an element, a percentage, and that's yet to be determined, of recyclable products. I would hope at the end of the day we get to a point where we will have zero landfill.
We're speaking with our federal member for Leichhardt, Warren Ench.
Before you go, though,
yes, mate.
One other opportunity that is part of what I'm trying to do here. Only recently, the federal government announced a $16.5 million funding to go into our Pacific Island nations to assist them in collecting their plastic waste along their waterway, same as what we're doing with Tararaga Blue and Ranger programs and everything in our own area, which is great. The problem is, once they've collected it, what do they do with it? And so what I'm trying to incorporate, what I'm wanting to incorporate, not trying, I'm going to have to incorporate here, is that we actually make sure that once they've collected it, we bring it to Cairns. It'll give us two opportunities here. First of all, it'll allow us to be able to analyse the waste that's been collected so that we can then give direction on how they can reduce that waste into the future, minimise it.
That's good stuff.
And secondly, use that as a raw material as we build up our own industry here. And convert it into white picket fences or whatever, bollards or construction materials or road base or whatever. There's an opportunity for a multi-billion dollar industry here that I hope will start to reduce as the plastics reduce. You know, we will have less reliant on that and other products in relation to recycling. So that's where I'm coming from on this. And over the next couple of years, I'm working very closely with the Environment Minister, Susan Ley. I'm also working with Trevor Evans. Now, Trevor Evans has got a new portfolio, and he's the Minister for Waste Reduction, among other things. And I would encourage you very strongly to have a chat to Trevor at some stage. And so he's specifically there, first time ever, we've now got a Minister for Waste Reduction. And I think that's pretty exciting and a step in the right direction.
It is. Warren Ench, thanks for joining in on this debate, a very important one. And have a great day.
And to you too, my friend. All the best.